Love God. Lift others. Love God. Lift others. Lift others. Lift others. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Palm Sunday, and as I said earlier, it is the beginning of what people call Holy Week. And this is the week that we see Jesus win the greatest victory of all mankind as he enters into Jerusalem on this day. We're going to see what happens, but then the week ends with him being crucified, but don't fret because he was rose again on the third day. We're going to get into all that today and what that means to us. Let's look at Matthew chapter 21, 5 through 10. It says this, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. And he's lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey." And so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" Now, imagine this scenario, guys. It says here the entire city came out to see this incredible parade. The only thing I could think of is when I've seen teams win a national championship. Come on, some of you know, I can't wait to see the Kings win the NBA championship. Come on. I know I'm a man of faith. I've been waiting a long time, but I got faith for it. Because one of the things I want to experience here in the city of Sacramento is that ticker tape parade that's going to take place. I don't know if they're going to do it down J Street. I don't know if they're going to do it right up on the Capitol. But it's going to be a glorious day because I've seen them do it in Chicago when the Bulls had their run. I've seen them do it in L.A. when the Lakers were winning their championships. And we've even seen it in the Bay, and Steph Curry and them were winning them titles. But on Easter, on Palm Sunday in Jerusalem, they had a ticker tape parade for Jesus, the Son of God. And it was an unplanned event. And so the Bible says when they heard Jesus was coming, everybody just left what they were doing, went to the square, went to the main road, I'm sure, and they began to just lay their garments in the street. And if they didn't have garments to lay in the street, well, they took palms off the trees so that the King of Kings didn't have to touch the dirt and the road that he was coming in on. Come on, how many know that's incredible adoration to get people to take off their jackets and allow a donkey to ride over them? Allow these people to march over them. But that's what was happening. And not only was that what was happening, the entire city came out to sing Hosanna in the highest. Guys, you would have thought this was Jesus' most glorious day. He rides into town and everybody acknowledges him. The entire city gave him praise. But let's fast forward 5 days later. And let's read what happens in Luke chapter 23, 18 through 25. 5 days later, it says this, and they all cried out at once, saying, away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Now, Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again calls out to them. But they shouted, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And then he said to them the third time, why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. And I will therefore chastise him, but I'm going to let him go. But they were insistent, demanding with a loud voice that he be crucified. And the voices of these men, and of the chief priests, they prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison, but they delivered Jesus to their will. Guys, 5 days earlier, the whole entire city is shouting Jesus. They're going crazy. They're worshiping. They're singing songs. They're throwing coats down. They're acknowledging his presence. 5 days later, they're like, kill that man. Crucify that man. And even when the judge comes and goes, guys, he's innocent. Listen to this. He hasn't done anything wrong to you guys. They didn't care. Crucify him. Now, it was their custom that one of the prisoners would be released in that day. And the people chose Barabbas. Everybody say Barabbas. Not Barakas, Barabbas. I heard some of you. Barabbas. Say it again. I just want to hear you say it. It's a funny name. It's a funny name. Barabbas. They said, give us Barabbas. Pilate says, no, take Jesus. He's innocent. This fool over here is a criminal. Yeah, but we'd rather have him than Jesus. Come on, let's pray. Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord God, that every heart would hear the word today and that their hearts would be good ground for the seed that is about to be sown. Lord, I pray that on this Palm Sunday, we would take a good look in the mirror at ourselves so we would not make the same mistake that these Israelites made on this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. See, Palm Sunday was a day where Israel gathered together around Jesus. Listen to this. Because they were excited for what Jesus was about to do for them. See, they had been taught as little Israelites their whole life that one day the Messiah is going to come. And he will restore the kingdom of God. Now, in their minds, the kingdom of God was the kingdom of Israel. And at this time in world history, Israel wasn't even a nation anymore. It had been conquered by Rome. So Israel didn't have a king. Israel didn't have rulers. They were under the rulership of Rome. So when they heard that Jesus was coming, the Messiah was finally coming, they had it in their mind what he was going to do. You see, they had their own agenda for Jesus. And in their agenda, what Jesus was coming to do was what they wanted him to do. It was a very selfish agenda. Now, it wasn't a wrong agenda. They had every right as the people of God to not want to be under the rulership of Rome. It wasn't a bad desire. They were hoping that Jesus would come and set them free from the Roman rulership. Guys, that's not a bad desire. That's not a bad agenda. But the problem was, it wasn't God's agenda. And this is what I kind of find we see happen in the church. We love Jesus, as long as he's doing what we want him to do. We'll serve God as long as we think he's going to do what we want him to do. And that's what was happening on Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, they were ecstatic. Jesus, Son of God. I mean, they were just, it says the entire city came out. But they came out because they wanted Jesus to fulfill their agenda. Fast forward 5 days later, when it is revealed that Jesus is not here to fulfill their agenda. He's here to fulfill God the Father's agenda, not just for Israel, but for all of mankind. Israel got mad. Jerusalem got mad. And just like that, they turned on Jesus. They went from calling him the Son of God, Hosanna in the highest, to crucify him, and give us Barabbas. And church, I got to be honest with you. I see this all the time in Christianity. We're all about Jesus as long as there's a promise tied to it that he's going to do what I want him to do. We'll serve Jesus because Jesus is going to get me a house. We'll serve Jesus because I'm believing God's going to give you a spouse. We'll serve Jesus as long as he's doing what we want him to do for us. And then when God begins to take long, and you've been waiting for a spouse, and it's been a long, long time. Come on, and them nights are getting cold. And your friends are getting married. And they ain't as fine as you. They ain't as smart as you. And you're looking around going, God, where's my blessing? I wonder if you'll turn on Jesus like the city would. Because I see it all the time. You know what happens? I see people when they don't get what they want from Jesus, they go back to the world. I see people when you know, I've heard it said before, well, man, I was going to church and I was serving and I wasn't getting nothing out of it. My blessings weren't coming. I literally sat with somebody one time, wanted to get married, and they said, Pastor, I've been serving God and God ain't brought what I've been believing for. This doesn't work. I'm done. I've seen it time and time again. And the problem is, we're just like Israel. We serve God from a selfish place. We must be reminded, and I say it all the time, Jesus doesn't come to serve you, you come to serve him. And when you serve him, he then in turn serves you. See, Israel thought that Jesus was there for their agenda. But he wasn't. He was there on a greater scale. See, Israel was simply looking at the small picture. They wanted to be free from Rome. But God the Father and Jesus was looking at it at a bigger picture. He was like, baby, I'm not just going to free you from Rome. I'm going to free you from death, hell, the devil, poverty, sickness, and disease. See, God always has a greater perspective than you do. How many know what I'm talking about? Can we have big boy church today? We're going to do ABCs today. Can we have big boy church today? Somebody said, Pastor, you always giving us big boy church. That's why I leave out of here disappointed sometimes. Nah. Listen, I got to tell you the truth. Here's one for you today. I need you to leave here knowing this today, that God is not always going to answer your prayers. Ooh. I just messed up your fairy tale Christianity. Well, Pastor, then why are we praying? Hold on. He does answer prayer, but he doesn't answer every prayer. Or he doesn't answer every prayer the way you want him to. And we learn that in the Bible. Tell your neighbor, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Because when you read the Bible, you're going to see sometimes there were times that great men of God prayed and God didn't answer their prayer. Or God didn't answer the prayer in the way they wanted to. Let's take Elijah, for example. There are three times in the Word of God that God didn't answer people's prayer. Let's look at Elijah. Elijah was a mighty, mighty man of God. Elijah would speak, and when he would speak, he would say, "It won't rain in this region till I say so." The weather obeyed. All of heaven backed up his words. Another instant, he challenges the prophets of Baal to a showdown. And he says, "I'm going to call down fire from heaven." He calls down fire. Fire comes from heaven. God answered those prayers. But when Jezebel rose up against him, the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, that Elijah moved and ran away and hid under a broom tree, and he prayed this prayer: "God, kill me. I can't take it anymore. This is too hard. I can't bear the burden." Elijah prayed that God would take him home. And you know what God said? "Sorry, I can't do that. You want to call down prayer? I can. You want to call down fire? I can move with that. You want to pray and keep the rain from coming? I can do that too. But I am not going to answer this prayer." Why? Because of the big picture. Because if I take you home, I cannot accomplish what I'm called to accomplish for all the nation of Israel. So God didn't answer that prayer. And there are going to be times, people, when you pray and you have a limited vision, you have a limited scope, and you're going, "God, no, remove this, remove that." And God's going, "You know what? I can't." And it's not because I don't love you. It's not because I don't want to. But you need to endure this for the big picture. Are you tracking with me today? And this is why Christianity doesn't work if you don't have relationship with him. Because it takes incredible amounts of trust. You got to trust him. There are things some of you are praying for right now, and God's going, "I can't answer that prayer." You just got to trust me. And the church said, come on, how many mature people can think back on their life and thank God he didn't answer the prayer you were praying? Whoo, I'm glad God didn't answer some of my prayers. Some of the things I was asking for. Come on, some of the people you was praying for. Ouch. And look what God gave you instead. Look what God gave you instead. Here's something I want you to remember. When God says no to a prayer, it's only because he's got something better on the other side. I'm going to prove it to you in Scripture. There was another prayer, Isaiah chapter 1. The nation of Israel was crying out to God, "God, make us mighty again. Restore us." God says, "No, I can't do that." Well, why can't you? Because what you're praying for, I cannot do. Because you won't be obedient. Read it on your own. Read Isaiah chapter 1, 2, and 3. You'll see what I'm talking about. They were crying out to God, "God, help us." And he sends word through Isaiah the prophet, says, "I can't. Because you're disobedient. Because I've been telling you, give your tithe. I've been telling you, give your offering. I've been telling you to stop worshiping false gods. I've been telling you all that. And now you're going to pray and you want to ask God to bless you." He tells the people through Isaiah, "I can't do it." Because there's one thing that fuels our prayers, and that's our obedience. Some of y'all praying for blessings, but you don't want to be obedient on the other side. See, we want the blessings without the process. Folks, that's dangerous. It's dangerous. Because you can't be a person that just desires the blessing without the heart of God. And so many Christians do this. We pray, but we're not obedient. God, bless my business. And God says, well, do this. Oh, no, I can't do that. God, I want a godly wife. I want a godly husband. Well, stop sleeping with people you date. Oh, I can't do that. Then I can't give you what you're praying for. Because there's one thing that fuels disobedience. Y'all need to write this down. The reason you're disobedient is pride. You can make all excuses you want. Well, I don't give because of this. Well, I don't serve. Well, you know, me and my girlfriend, we're just in love. And isn't in love the same as marriage? No. The reason you can't do what God's asking you is because you're too proud. That's it. This is why the Bible tells us that God resists the proud. Think about that word, resist. Y'all need to catch this today. We got too many Christians in America playing games with God, going to church but doing none of the word. The book of James says you deceive yourself when you're a hearer but not a doer. We're playing games. God says, I resist the proud. Think about that word, resist. Think about if you were pushing a door open, but there was somebody on the other side resisting. When you live in pride, you literally work against God. Or let me say it like this. God works against you. That's what resist means. If you're trying something and he's resisting it, you're finding yourself on the other side of God's will. Pride is deadly. It's deadly. It's the only thing God says, I got to resist you. But he says this, I will give grace to the humble. What is grace? Grace is not the great cover-up. Grace is not if I fall, he forgives me. No, grace is empowering you to not fall. You want to know people that are walking in grace? People that aren't falling. We got to quit making grace the cleanup. Grace is the empowerment. Grace gives me the ability to not sleep with my girlfriend. Grace is not there to cover it up when I do. Grace is there to keep me living holy. Grace is there to keep me not cheating from my boss, stealing from my boss. Are you tracking with me today? So Israel prayed prayers, but they didn't have obedience to where God could come along and fulfill those prayers. Read Isaiah. And the third area where God did not answer prayers came to our Savior himself. When in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's thinking about what he's about to go through. He's about to be nailed on a cross in front of the entire city that cheered for him six days prior. He's about to hang on a cross. Now, I know the Catholic Church did us a favor by putting a loincloth there, but he was completely naked. Guys, there is nothing more humiliating than being hung naked for all to see. And the Bible says they spat on him and they threw things at him and they beat him and did all these things. And he's in the garden praying and he prays this prayer. Father, if it's at all possible, let this cup pass from me. God the Father did not answer that prayer. He did not answer that prayer. And you want to know why? Was it because he hated Jesus? No. Was it because he wanted this to happen to Jesus? No. It was because God the Father saw the bigger picture, that this needed to happen for great glory to be established and God's will to be made manifest in the earth. So thankfully, Jesus had a nevertheless on the inside of him. And my prayer for you all today on this Palm Sunday is I pray you have a nevertheless on the inside of you. Now, what is the nevertheless? Because when Jesus prayed, he said, Lord, if it's at all possible, let this cup pass from me. God the Father says, nope, I got to do this. Then Jesus says, well, then nevertheless, let's go. Nevertheless, let's go. Nevertheless, God, not my will, but yours be done. I wish I could get a church full of folks that could have a nevertheless on the inside of you that says, nevertheless, God, no matter what you do, if you answer my prayer right now or not, nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. If you bring her, if I got to wait another year for my wife, another 2 years for my wife, if I got to wait another 3 years for my man, nevertheless, God, I will not stop serving you. Your will be done, not mine. Well, I want my business to work, God. You got to get this business off the ground. You got to start me in ministry. You got to do these things, but nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Guys, my prayer is that you have that. Because I'm tired of seeing Christians that could serve God all excited. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a year, 6 months. But then as soon as they start suffering, as soon as they start walking with God, and wait a minute, I didn't know it was going to be like this. Oh, I got to be single for a little bit. Oh, I didn't know it was going to be like this. Oh, I can't sleep and have sex. I got to give up the trees. Come on. Oh, I didn't know it was going to be like this. I didn't. I can't go to the club no more. Pastor, I ain't doing nothing wrong in the club. I just like to dance. Had somebody tell me that before. Yeah, you laugh. I wish they would have laughed. They weren't laughing. They were dead serious. Because, see, they didn't want to let go of their old life. I wanted to say to them, you like dancing? Go home and put some funny lights in your room. Put Spotify on and dance. Come on, somebody. Amen. But, see, that's not what they like. They like the atmosphere. They like the atmosphere. My point is this, guys. It's going to cost you. And I don't want us to be like the children of Israel. The minute they saw that Jesus was not going to set them free from the Roman Empire, they turned on him. As soon as they saw Jesus wasn't going to do their will, he was going to accomplish God the Father's will, they turned on him. Some of you in this place have turned on God because he ain't doing what you want. It's interesting. Kanye West recently, I don't know if some of y'all saw the interview. He was interviewed by Big Boy in the Morning. Big Boy? Some of you don't know that show. Big Boy asked him, your new music, Jesus ain't in it. How come? He said, because I got a problem with Jesus. So I leaned in. I said, I got to hear this. And he said, I got a problem with Jesus because when I called on Jesus, he didn't come. When I was praying and asking for things and needed help in my marriage, Jesus didn't come. So I got an issue with him. You see, what Kanye's echoing, don't look so shocked because some of y'all do the same thing. Kanye's issue is God is not doing what I want him to do. I wish Kanye was here today because he would hear me say to him, God don't work for you. You work for God. Because I say the same thing for you today. God don't work for you. You work for God. Let's keep reading the Bible. Can we read the Bible? Tell your neighbor he's just reading the Bible today. Look at Matthew chapter 10, 38 and 39. It says, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. It's a powerful scripture. We don't understand this scripture in the American church. I wish we would. Because see, everybody wants life. But nobody wants to give their life up. Everybody wants God to use them in a powerful way, but nobody wants to go down into the ground and die. See, Jesus said it like this: unless a seed goes into the ground and dies, it cannot bear forth fruit. We all want the fruit. We all want the ministry. We all want business. We all want the success and the money, but we don't want the process. Then when Jesus tells us this, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Well, what does that mean? You know what that means? It means you really give God entrance into every area of your life. 19 years old, you guys know the story. I tell it all the time. And the reason I do, and I want to challenge you on this, anybody that's had a miracle stays close to their miracle. 19 years old, I prayed over here in the library, Southgate Library. I was in the parking lots where I used to do my devotionals and stuff. Sitting in my car, had my Bible open, reading Matthew 28. Matthew 28 comes alive to me. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of other nations. And that scripture jumped out at me. I knew it was written for everybody, but at that moment it hit my spirit. And I had like an open vision. I've never really had a vision like this many times since, only a few other times. And I began to see myself getting on airplanes. I began to see myself preaching on platforms in nations all over the world. And I closed my Bible and I quickly prayed and I said, God, that seems impossible. And God said, with me, nothing is impossible. If you say yes, I will bring this to pass in your life. And I said yes. And you know, from that day forward, every decision I began to make was centered around the vision that God had given me. It was centered around what God had given me. Years later, I began to be serving in ministry, went off to Bible school, graduated. I went to serve a pastor in Modesto, California. And the Lord told me this: whatever that pastor asks you to do, I want you to do. Up to this point, everything I'm doing, I'm carrying this vision. I'm going to the nations. I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to help build churches all over the world. I'm going to get on airplanes. I'm going to go. I'm going to have this thing I'm carrying. God sends me to this pastor. He says, do whatever this man tells you to do. I walk in his office and I say, Pastor, I'm here to serve you, whatever you need. And he says, amen, I've been praying for somebody like you. I'm thinking, okay, awesome, praise the Lord. He sees the anointing on my life. He's going to use me. I said, well, what do you need me for? He says, we need a children's ministry. Now, some of you heard me here tell this story before, but bear with me here because somebody needs to hear this today. And I said, a children's, inside, I didn't show it because I knew better, amen. He said, I need a children's pastor. And I said to myself inside, what in the world? I wanted to look around the room. Are you talking to me? Guys, at this time, I'm 22 years old, didn't have kids, didn't like kids. Real talk. Not only that, the church we were in Modesto, it was in the hood. Now there's categories of kids, amen. I'm just telling you. And hood kids are different. Some of y'all know because you was one, amen. Hood kids walk around with Kool-Aid stains on their lip. Just all the time. 5 o'clock in the afternoon, got a red mustache. Clothes stained up. Bad kids, Bebe's kids. Everybody remember Bebe's kids? Those are some hood kids. We need a children's minister. And I'm about to say no. And I hear the Holy Spirit say, I told you to do whatever he asked you to do. I caught myself. I said, Pastor, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. He was so excited. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because he knew them kids were bad. He knew them kids were bad. So I began to go back there one Sunday, two Sundays, three Sundays. We didn't have like you serve one time a month here. It was every Sunday. And here's the thing. I started doing it because, well, Lord, you told me to do what he asked me to do. I'm doing it. Here's the thing. I got good at it. Real good at it. I started doing puppet shows. We didn't have money, so I made sock puppets. Took stuffing out of stuffed animals and made little puppets. That's where we got the Choncho Moroncho gang. Some of y'all remember that. Some of y'all remember that. We band do these puppet shows. Man, parents start coming up to me after, sir, man, thank you so much. Our kids are learning a lot. And I was like, cool. Pastor calls me into his office. I was like, okay, maybe it's time for promotion. Maybe I moved into this. Pastor comes in and says, man, you've been doing an amazing job. I said, thank you. He said, would you mind going to my friends' churches in the area? They don't have kids' ministries either. I was like, I'm about to say no, and the Lord reminded me again, I told you to do whatever he asked you to do. I said, Pastor, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. So I began to go out. I was a traveling puppet master. In the hood. So you know what that means? I didn't have a puppet stage. We turned over a table, and I did puppet shows like this. Kids started coming around. See, y'all know the deal. Hood kids, they don't just sit still, right? So they're coming behind my table looking at me. What are you doing? I'm like, get away. Just go watch the show. Go watch the show. It was bad. But it started getting good. Kids were getting touched and all these things. I'll never forget this one afternoon. I'm sitting there, I'm broken glass. And I'm behind this table. And while I'm doing this puppet show, the Holy Spirit comes to me. And he says, son, would you do this for me the rest of your ministry? And when he said that, I saw the vision that I had at 19, going into all the world, preaching the gospel, getting on airplanes, preaching on platforms. And I said, God, what about what you showed me? The Lord ignored me. He said, do you love me enough that you would do this for the rest of your life? See, what he was asking me for, guys, is for me to give him back the vision that he gave me. He was asking me to die to this desire that I had. And with tears in my eyes, as I'm doing this puppet show on my knees, and it was in Spanish too. Did I mention that part? It was in Spanish. I had to get these things made in Spanish. I didn't know where I was at in the puppet show. I'm talking to the Holy Spirit and the wrong puppets probably. But as I'm talking to the Holy Spirit, I said, God, if you want me to do puppet shows the rest of my life, I'll do it. And God said, that's all I needed to hear. 2 weeks later, they asked me to be the pastor of that church. It didn't come until I was willing to make God's will my will. 10 years later, or 6 or 7 years later, I moved to Florida, serving another pastor. God gives me the same word. Whatever he asks you to do, do it. I get called into the pastor's office, and he's giving me these assignments. He wants me to be the youth pastor and this and that. And while he's telling me this, I am seeing the vision again from 19 years old, where I'm getting on planes, going to the nations, doing all these things. And as I leave the office, the Lord asked me this, will you lay down your vision and make that man's vision your vision? And I cried. Because in my heart, I was thinking, God, what about me? What about mine? What about what I want? What about you said what I was going to do? And God was saying this, I need that back. Will you trust me enough to lose your life? This is the second time I said, God, if you want me to make his vision my vision, I'll do it. And I put that vision away, and I died to it. So much so, when I met my wife later on, she says I tricked her. She said, I'm down for this, but as long as you ain't called to be a pastor. I said, nope. I'm called to do whatever this pastor wants me to do. I don't see myself ever leaving. Well, we laugh about it now because we've been pastoring now for over 20 years. She says, you tricked me. I said, no. At that time in my heart, I had laid down everything. My pastor's vision was my vision. And as I began to serve that pastor, 2 weeks after that incident, he calls me into his office. He didn't know about the conversation I had with the Lord. I laid down my vision. I said, I'm going to serve this man of God with all my heart. This pastor calls me in the office, and he says, hey, I got a trip coming up. I'm going to Iceland. I want you to come with me. Went to Iceland, first time, my first nation outside of Mexico, Iceland. I took a video and I'm kayaking in the Arctic Ocean. I made the comment, the first Mexican to ever kayak. A month later, he invites me to go with him to England, to Germany, to all these countries. The vision that God gave me started coming to pass, but I had to die to it first. Guys, I don't know what God has promised you, but unless you give it over to the Lord, it'll never come to pass. Unless you lose your life, you'll never find your life. And we have a problem right now in America, and it is this. Nobody wants to lose their life. Nobody wants to lose your life. Can I tell you three ways that'll help you lose your life? That was weak. Let me try these guys. Can I tell you guys, because they don't want to hear it. They just ready to go have lunch. Can I tell you guys three ways that you can lay down your life to find life? Yes. Guys, Dale, that's how you do it over here. But I'm going to give you all another shot, okay? Can I tell you guys three ways that you can lose your life to find your life? Yes. You're here. Real quick, help. Play for me something there, George, so they can think we're letting them go. We're not. But let them think that. Three things you can do to lay down your life. You ready? Submit. Submission is not a bad word. It's a kingdom word. This is why in marriage, God tells the bride, submit to your husbands. I know people want to take that out of the vows nowadays. Can't do it. Because to do that would change the very thing that God has ordained to be in marriage. Wives, you need to submit to your husband. See, there was weak amens right there. That's only because you don't understand. Submission is laying down your life. Now, let's not get too excited because, fellas, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, submit one to another. Which means men, submit to your wives. I got better amens from the Kingsmen right there. I like that. I've taught you. Submission's not a bad word. Who do you listen to? Who has the right in your life to tell you what you don't want to hear and you'll listen to it? There are people, Pastor Charles could come into my life at any time. And if I'm going a certain direction, he can come and veto that. And he's done that. This instance I prayed, I felt like God was leading me in a direction. This was when we were going through a tough time in ministry. And I was like, man, I need a sabbatical. Felt like God was telling me to take it. I called Pastor Charles. He said, no, don't do that. Stay in it. I was so like, what? I prayed about this. God told me this. And then I remembered, but that's my pastor. I submit to him, which means I give him the right to veto anything that I'm doing. He doesn't take that right. He doesn't force it upon me. I give it to him. Because why? That's one way I keep my life in the ground. And make sure that I'm living for more than myself. Submission is not a bad thing, guys. It's freeing. And the problem we have today is we don't understand authority. See, you think you're submitting to a man. You're submitting to God. You think you're submitting to a person. You're submitting to a principle. That is why what some of you do when you're faced with an authority, you're quick to point out their humanity. I don't have to listen to my pastor. He's just like me. He's a man like me. Why do I got to listen to him? No. You're not submitting to me. You're submitting to him. You're not submitting to your boss who's ungodly. You're submitting to a principle of authority. That's submission. Submission will bring life out of you. But nobody wants to submit because you think submission is weakness. Why am I going to have somebody else tell me what to do? Why do I got to run this by? Blah, 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 all this stuff. No, but see, submission does one thing for me. You know what it does? It protects me from me. I feel for some of you women because you're married to a man that has no safeguards in place. He is submitted to nobody. Single ladies, all the single ladies, find yourself a man that's submitted to somebody. Because if he's submitted to somebody, he has somebody to protect him from his own destruction. There's several people that speak into my life. There's several people that they saw me going off the rails, they could come and tell me, hey man, don't do that. You all have them in place, you just don't listen. The first person you have in place, fellas, that you should submit to, it's your wife. It's your wife. You married her, but you don't listen to her. Calm down, ladies. Y'all getting happy right now. Calm down. I'm coming for y'all, too. Coming for y'all, too. Some of y'all saw them elbows flying on. I wish y'all could see what I see sometimes. So funny. So funny. But wives, you got a man. Submit to him. Oh, but pastor, you know, he's this, he's that. See, you're taking it to a person again. You're missing it. You're not so much submitting to a person as a premise, as a principle, as to God himself. This is why you got to understand there are times God will call you to submit to somebody who's not as smart as you. Sometimes you got to submit to somebody that you know more than. Even David had to submit to Saul. And Saul was a knucklehead. Saul didn't even know God like that. And David submitted. Save your life through submission. Second thing I got to let you go is serving. 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 It's amazing to me. In the average church, and you hear me say it all the time, we can't get nobody to do nothing. Because we think all we got to do is come to the house of God and God's happy. Man, serve. Serve somebody. Serving, submission, and last one, sacrifice. These are three pillars of Christianity. If you're a Christian, those three areas there are going to help you lose your life to find it. Those three areas are things left to yourself you'll never do. You want to know how to make your marriage better? Fellas, serve your wife. Submit to your wife. Sacrifice for your wife. It's hard. She don't be acting right sometimes, right, fellas? Right? I'm talking about y'all, not mine. Not mine, baby. Not mine. We good. We good. You always on. But y'all, I know how it is out there for y'all. Ladies, you know how to keep a man? Women today don't know how to keep a man. Women think the same way you get a man is how you keep a man. Not. You can get all the beauty products you want. It's not how you keep him. That's not going to keep him. You can go get your BBLs, whatever you want to do. That's okay. Get it out of your system. Some of you are laughing. But this is the burden women carry today. They think that's going to keep their man. Women are carrying a burden right now. Getting lip injections and all the... Please, if you've got some, no. Do whatever you need to do. But I'm just here to tell you something. Listen to this. Those things are never going to keep a man. You want to keep a man coming home? Serve him. Submit to him, sacrifice for him. It works both ways. And the church said, that's what it's going to be. It's Palm Sunday. I need to let you go. Let me read you these last two scriptures today. Y'all getting something out of this? Matthew chapter 16, 22 through 26. Peter took Jesus aside after he hears. Jesus is telling him, listen, guys, I'm going to go to the cross. They're going to crucify me, but don't trip. 3 days later, I'm going to raise up. Listen what Peter says. Peter takes him aside. Jesus, can I talk to you? And he begins to rebuke him. I am never going to let this happen, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turns and said to him, get behind me, Satan. Now, see, we lose the weight of this in the English language. This is pretty tough. Like, me and Pastor Willard have gotten into it before, but I ain't never said to him, you the devil, fool, get out of here. I ain't never done that. Jesus does that to Peter. He says, you know who you sound like right now? You sound like Satan. He says, you're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple, listen to this, must deny themselves, take up their cross, follow me, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? What can anyone give in exchange for their soul? See, Jesus is laying it out, guys. Anytime you exalt what's on your agenda above God's agenda, Jesus says that's the equivalent. He says this, you're thinking like Satan. You're acting like Satan. It's all about you and getting a house. It's all about you and having a baby. It's all about you and getting a man and starting a family and getting that business off the ground. It's all about you because that's all you could see. But God sees a bigger picture. And that's why we need to be able to have that nevertheless in our spirit. Pray for the business. Nevertheless, God, I'm going to serve you. God, send that man. It's taken long, but nevertheless, God, I'm going to serve you. Because it's not my will, it's yours be done. And God is always looking at the bigger picture. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him. Here it is. He endures the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, here's what it's coming down to. You're going to suffer for a little while, but afterwards, you're going to get a throne of grace. Just like Jesus. Look what it says, 1 Peter chapter 5, 10. And then, after your brief suffering, tell your neighbor, it's going to hurt a little bit. Doing the right thing is going to hurt a little bit. Single people, you're going to have some cold nights. Get an extra blanket. Get a body pillow. Come on, somebody. Going to be cold. But after your brief suffering, the God of all loving grace, who has called you to share in his eternal glory in Christ, will personally and powerfully restore you, make you stronger than ever. And yes, he will set you up firmly in place and build you up. This is why the Apostle Paul said this, count it all joy when you go through affliction, because God is getting you to the other side. But here's the thing. Don't be a punk. What do I mean by that? You're going to have to suffer a little bit. You're going to have to pay a price. You're going to suffer a little bit. It's going to be hard. You're going to have to serve God, submit to God, sacrifice to God. You're going to have to do those three things. If you do those three things, you're laying down your life. God is going to resurrect and give you greater glory. Church, it's Palm Sunday, but let's remember the lesson of Palm Sunday. A whole city that was down with Jesus turned on him as soon as he didn't give them what they wanted. And you know what they wanted? They wanted Jesus to do their will. Nah, it don't work like that. I want you to leave this church today with this one thought. God exists for us to do his will, not him trying to make our will happen.
I think that this is your way of telling me something.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store. And you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.